I think I'm just going to get started. You know, it is being recorded and people will have a chance to hear the recording.
Okay.
And you could ask whatever questions you have. Yeah, certainly.
So, all right. Private class.
What's that? Okay. So, okay.
Private class. I said private class.
Exactly. Exactly. So last time we were talking about the case of having a guy wash one's dishes on Shabbos. Said that even if the guy uses hot water, even if the guy uses a sponge, you don't have to stop him from doing that, because since he had a permissible way to do it, he could have used cold water, which would be a halachically permissible way to do it. You know, you could have done it yourself using cold water to achieve the same purpose. Therefore, the fact that he chose to, you know, violate Shabbos and to use hot water or to use a sponge, that's considered as if he's doing that part of it for himself. It's not attributed to you, and therefore you don't have to worry about it. And the last part of that case that we discussed at the end of last time was, what if he chooses to use the dishwasher? Is he allowed to use the dishwasher? So from a Amir La'akam perspective, from a asking a Jew to do malacha for you perspective, there would be no problem, just like using a sponge, assuming that the same goal can be achieved, even with cold water, yourself. The fact that he goes along and he wants to do it in a more convenient way for himself, that's his own prerogative. However, there's a whole separate issue when it comes to using a dishwasher on Shabbos, or even having it being run on Shabbos. And that's the issue of Hashma'as Kol. This is where we ended up last time, that Chazal did not want us to have on Shabbos any sort of item which makes noise and it makes a malacha, you know, like a desecration of Shabbos type noise. Such noise should not take place in one's house for Ashkenazim. So, and therefore, it doesn't make a difference when it was turned on. It doesn't make a difference whether, even if it was turned on in a permissible fashion, the mere fact that it's making noise on Shabbos is a problem. And therefore, that's why a person is not allowed to run a dryer cycle or a washing or to use the washing machine right before Shabbos. A person may think, okay, I'll just run a cycle right before Shabbos. I'll let it run on its own on Shabbos. I'm not doing it on Shabbos, right? It's happening by itself. One would think that it's just like the cholent pot, right? I plug the cholent pot in before Shabbos. On Shabbos, the food is cooking, but that's not attributed to me. That's happening by itself. My work was finished before Shabbos. One may think that we're using a washing machine is the same thing. So mechanically, it is the same thing. The only issue is that a washing machine makes noise and a crock pot does not make noise. The noise that a washing machine makes is a malacha type noise. It's type of noise which is clear to everybody that is coming from something which in and of itself is not allowed to be started on Shabbos. And therefore Chazal were very concerned and did not want us using such things or allow them to be run in our homes out of the concern that a person may think that we turn them on Shabbos itself. So things such as a dryer, a washing machine, a dishwasher, things of that nature should not be used on Shabbos. They're not allowed to be turned on right before Shabbos and then to run on Shabbos, nor should they be put on a timer to then run at some point over Shabbos or to have a guy do use it on Shabbos. So putting aside Amir La'akum for a moment, there's this whole separate issue of a Shma'as Kol, of the sound being heard. And this is actually a stringency only for Ashkenazim. Most Sfardim are lenient in this matter. So this is actually one of those things that Sfardim are lenient about. And so for a Sephardi, there's no issue of having a washing machine being run on Shabbos, no issue of having a dishwasher be run on Shabbos. There's no problem. But for an Ashkenazi, it would be a problem. For example, now, you know, they have so many more things now. Now they have these type of like vacuum cleaners that operate on their own on Shabbos. Or let's say it's a situation where the guy does it on their own and they for their own convenience and they decide to vacuum, they want to vacuum the floor instead of just dusting it with a dustpan and using a broom. So anything that makes noise for Ashkenazi is going to be inherently a problem. But for someone who's Sephardi, it's not going to be a problem.
a rabbi of Listen, I have a question. Even if the machine makes noise, you cannot have it run. But if it's in a room of the house where you cannot hear the noise, it's still not acceptable.
Correct. The mere fact that it's running in one's house, we're not able to make our own distinctions like that. Make our own, those decisions. It's in this room. It's not in this room. I can't really hear it. Me in this situation, Chazal didn't allow us to make such distinctions. So it'll be the same problem in that situation as well. So that would be by those types of things. Now, you may ask, okay, so then how does one turn the air conditioning on? Or how is one allowed to set the air conditioning during the week? It's on a set time and it goes on and off, based on the temperature. How is that permissible, depending on how good of a quality your system is? If it's an older system and it makes noise when it turns on your heating or your air conditioning, what about the noise that comes from there? So how about, and this is discussed in the Shulchan Aruch, what about the old-fashioned grandfather clock, where it makes a noise every hour when it gets to the next hour? How is that permissible? It's making noise. So the reason why those things are permissible is because everybody knows it is the normal thing to set those things, before Shabbos. Everyone knows that the normal way that people set air conditioning is they set it for a certain temperature and they let it run for a number of days. Nobody's going to mistakenly think that a person just set it 45 minutes before. When it comes to a dishwasher or a washing machine or a dryer, which have 45-minute cycles, a one-hour cycle, a person hears that on Shabbos, knows that there's only a short lifespan to when it's working, may think that you turned it on that day. But if it's the type of thing that people know that they're turned on a couple of days before, and that's the normal thing for people to do in our society, so then Chazal said there's no concern. And we learned that from the grandfather clock case. Therefore, since there, the noise that the clock makes was preset when it was, created, when it was manufactured. Clearly before Shabbos, nobody's going to think that you set that, noise to happen on Shabbos, and therefore there's no problem. So air conditioning, heating, if a person has a clock that makes noise, where if the normal thing is to set it beforehand, it would not be a problem. A question could arise when it comes to an alarm clock, because an alarm clock is set every night. Usually people do set an alarm clock every night before they go to sleep. So the night, Friday night, is Shabbos. Person, if the alarm goes off Shabbos morning, maybe you have the same noise issue that it. People might think that you set it before you went to sleep the night before, which is what most people do. So when it comes to an alarm clock, there is a separate leniency, and that is that although Ashkenazim are stringent for hashmas kol for noise, however, we're not stringent in a situation where it involves a mitzvah. So if I'm setting the alarm clock in order to get up to go to minyan on time, I'm setting it for a mitzvah, for a dvar mitzvah, so then there is no issue of a shmas kol. Okay, so that is another leniency. Again, doesn't apply to things like a washing machine or a dryer or a dishwasher, just the mere fact that, I could have my clothes drier faster for whatever reason. That's not a pure mitzvah and starts what we're talking about. We're talking about a mitzvah that one does on Shabbos, like davening in the minyan, etc. In that case, that's the reason why it will be permissible. So you have to come on to that special leniency. So this is the issue of the dishwasher, and this is why an Ashkenazi has to make sure that even a Gentile does not use a dishwasher on Shabbos. It's the same thing in one's house, the same thing in the shul. Worker cannot use the vacuum cleaner on Shabbos because of the noise. It would be the exact same issue. Now, on this, even where it is permissible, let's say, for example, for Sephardim, it's permissible. For Ashkenazim, if there's a noise, it's forbidden. If there's no noise, it's permissible, right? You could turn on a crock pot, obviously, before Shabbos. You can turn on an oven before Shabbos. You can turn on a hot plate before Shabbos and let it run on Shabbos. We all know that. Lights are set before Shabbos. So for example, you can have a timer for lights on Shabbos to go on or off as much as you want, because there's no noise. When the lights go on or off, there's no noise there. It's just like a crock pot. It's not like a dishwasher. And that would also be permissible for you to set it before Shabbos, for a guy to change the lights, assuming that it's permissible because of the mirla akum we discussed before about turning on versus turning off. But that would be in the category of a known noise thing, and therefore it would be okay. I should just point out that even when it comes to the known noise things, Rav Moshe Feinstein points out a very important hashkafa. He, in fact, is very stringent in general by all things, even noise or no noise, because he's concerned for the lack of the spirit of Shabbos that will result if people try to constantly set all types of, you know, mechanisms before Shabbos to go on Shabbos. You know, imagine for, you know, if strictly speaking, if we take this literally, a person may think, okay, great. I could turn on my TV. I could have my TV set from before Shabbos and I can have it playing on Shabbos. What's the problem? I'll turn it on mute. There's no noise. I said it before Shabbos. What's the problem? Right? One can appreciate just from that example alone that if we take this too far, it would take away from the spirit of Shabbos. So therefore, for Sfardim, whether there's noise or not is permissible. For Ashkenazim, it's permissible only if there's no noise. But either way, we should only be doing these types of things for things that, you know, that there is a need for, things that are not taking away from the spirit of Shabbos. So that's just one last point on that I wanted to mention. Okay, so a few more minutes before any other questions. The one last part of the dishwashing shaila is, what about washing dishes on Shabbos? Or what about washing dishes on after Shalosh Shudas? Are you allowed to have a goy wash the dishes after Shalosh Shudas? Are you allowed to wash your dishes after Shalosh Shudas or after the lunch meal? The reason why there could be a problem is a separate issue called hachana, which is that we are not allowed to prepare for after Shabbos on Shabbos. So when it comes to washing dishes Friday night, there could be multiple reasons why the washing of those dishes is needed for Shabbos itself. The most obvious reason may be, I want to reuse those dishes tomorrow for my Shabbos lunch meal or for Shalosh Shudas. So therefore, if someone's washing the dishes, they're not preparing for after Shabbos. It's going to be used again on Shabbos. Or if I have dirty dishes all over my kitchen counter and I would like to have a clean kitchen counter for the rest of Shabbos to enjoy Shabbos. It's not pleasant to be, you know, working around the dirty kitchen for the rest of the entire Shabbos. And therefore, to clean off the dishes so that I can clear off the counter space is also for the sake of Shabbos, and that would also be a reason why it would be permissible to rinse them and put them away. Because those are all things, I'm motivated by a need for Shabbos. But what about if I'm not going to need those dishes again? Let's say it's Shabbos lunch, and there was a luncheon in shul, or you're at a simcha, fancy dishes. They don't plan on using them for Shalosh Shudas. They're not going to be used again until during the week. There's no chance they're going to be used. The space where they are currently being stored while they're dirty is not in anyone's way. It's not a problem. It's just stored in some cabinet somewhere, etc. If that would be the situation, so then Jew or Gentile, nobody would be allowed to wash those dishes on Shabbos because of a separate issue of hachana, of preparing for after Shabbos.
That
only applies to.
I downloaded it a few weeks ago.
Let me just make sure everyone is muted.
Wait, I have that.
I think I'm not able to mute you. If I could ask everyone to please mute themselves.
I hate to press it, but I have the game too.
This is Anton. I think Anton.
Can you hear me?
Okay, I don't know if she can hear me. Mrs. Anton, can you hear me? Okay. New noise went away, so I will hopefully stop. All right. So anything which is not going to be used on Shabbos, even if it doesn't violate Shabbos, is a problem. I'm not supposed to clean a room if there's no more use for that room until after Shabbos. I'm not supposed to clean up toys from a room if there's no more use for that room on Shabbos. I'm not supposed to clear the table from Shalosh Shudas if Shabbos is over in 5 minutes from now. You know, so if it's after lunch or if it's a little bit earlier in the day and I have toys all around the living room and I want to have a clean living room for the next 3 hours of Shabbos, that then to clean them up would be for the sake of Shabbos, that's permissible. If it's Shabbos, the Shabbos lunch meal, I'm allowed to clear the table so that I can have a clear dining room table for the next few hours of Shabbos lunch, of Shabbos. But if Shabbos is over in a half hour, in 20 minutes, you know, very, very soon. I don't need the room where I'm eating. I don't need the room where my kids are playing. And I'm just cleaning the table or cleaning the toys to save me time after Shabbos. I don't need that now. I'm just trying to prepare for after Shabbos. Then even if there's no malach involved, there'll be a separate issue of achana. Chazal did not want us to be exerting ourselves and doing things that would be not for the sake of Shabbos. To really discuss hachana in detail, we'd have to dedicate a shiur or two to that. But it touches on this Amir La'akum issue as well, because when it comes to washing dishes, although it's permissible to have a guy wash the dishes, you don't have to stop if you use the hot water, the sponges, we said, the dishwasher, if you're Ashkenazi, you have to stop him. And the other thing you have to make sure he doesn't do is that he does not start washing dishes, let's say right after Shalosh Shudis, where I do not need, I don't need, you know, that space anymore at all. So for example, in our shul, where every week we have people cleaning up the social hall from Kiddush, right? Alyssa Shea is here on the call, is the chair of the Kiddush committee, right? She has a whole amazing list of different volunteers that rotate who's cleaning up. Some people are cleaning up in the kitchen, others are cleaning out in the social hall. That's all permissible. There's no issue of hachana there. Why? Because we need that space for later on Shabbos. There may be a Bnei Akiva program down there. We eat Shalosh Shudis down there. And even the kitchen, to go down for Shalosh Shudis, it's not pleasant to go down. And even if the social hall is clean, if the kitchen's a mess, we're taking things out of the kitchen, we're using the counter space in the kitchen, it would not be a pleasant Shalosh Shudis experience if that whole area was a mess. So cleaning up that area is permissible because it's not preparing for after Shabbos. I need that space for Shabbos. So that is the last issue to be mindful of. I'm going to mention one last halacha for now before I get to any questions. Get your question in just 2-3 minutes. And that is just moving on now to the next topic very, very briefly. And that is another leniency of Amir La'akum in the situation where it's during Bein Hashmashos. So the period, there's a period of time after sunset where there is a doubt in halacha, where there's an uncertainty if it's considered daytime or nighttime. Without getting into all the details of it, practically speaking, for an average of the first 13 to 15 minutes or so, following shkia, following sunset on every night is considered in this twilight zone period. And because it's not for sure nightfall yet, so on Friday night, the first 13 minutes, 15 minutes after sunset, you've already lit Shabbos candles, Shabbos comes in, and if the next 15 minutes, it is not fully Shabbos yet. It's not definitely nighttime. And that makes a huge difference in many areas of halacha. One of them is Amir La'akum. That because to begin with, it's not definitely Shabbos yet, one is allowed to ask a Gentile to do malacha for them if it's for the sake of Shabbos, for a mitzvah, or if there's something which is really, really bothering a person. So for example, I just lit Shabbos candles. It's Shabbos for me. Let's say for a woman who's accept Shabbos once you light candles, you accept Shabbos. Now it's fully Shabbos for you. You just realize that the lights in the dining room are still off. Now what do you do? To turn lights on is a big problem, right? That's malacha derais, as we discussed. But if you remember right away and you immediately go over to your neighbor, to your non-Jewish neighbor, and you say, please come over. It's our Sabbath. I need you to turn the light. That is permissible directly because you need that for Shabbos. A light is on or off in any of the rooms of the house that you need for Shabbos. You forgot to plug in the hot plate before Shabbos. You forgot to raise or lower the chillum pot before Shabbos. All of these are needs for a Shabbos. Let's say a person has a yahrzeit and they forgot to light the yahrzeit candle. So even though there is it's in a different category of halacha, but if a person's going to be distressed over Shabbos knowing that they did not light the yahrzeit candle, if they remember right away in the first 15 minutes, one can go over to a neighbor and directly ask them to light the yahrzeit candle for you right away. Another example could be, let's say a person's car is parked in the wrong spot. Maybe a person's concerned that it may get stolen that night, or maybe there's going to be, the doors are unlocked. You forgot to lock the car, or you didn't want to park there because you're concerned about maybe some kids in the street play ball and they hit your car, whatever it may be. If you were to have to leave your car there the whole Shabbos, you would be on edge all Shabbos concerned that your car may not get damaged, etc. The person is feeling that way, then they would be allowed to directly go over to their non-Jewish neighbor and ask them to move their car into the driveway or wherever you want to put it. If it's in the first 15 minutes after sunset, Friday night, you can ask a guy even to do a malacha de'araisa, even a biblical prohibition, provided that there is a need for Shabbos, or that it's something which, if it would not be done, it would be very distressed. A person would be very distressed. That is the last halacha. Now, that's an important case. That could definitely happen, right? There's a rush for Shabbos. We're all rushing around in the winter, getting everything ready. We light candles. We just forgot to do one thing. Forgot to turn the light off in the fridge. Forgot to turn the air conditioning to reset it the wrong way, or the heat, or the lights, or the anything. It's in the first 15 minutes, go over to your neighbor right away, and you have them do it for you. Okay, that ends the shiur for now. Any questions? Alyssa, yes.
I have a question. Are we allowed to take the clean dishes out of the dishwasher on Shabbos if we're not going to use the dishes for Shabbos?
A person should not do that, because that's pure hachana. A person's preparing for after Shabbos. A person is taking them out just to put them back in the cabinets. So, and they have no use for them on Shabbos. You have no plans to use them. Then that should not be done on Shabbos.
And what about getting clothes out of the clothes dryer on Shabbos? If the light doesn't go on, can you take the clothes out if you need them for Shabbos? It has to be Shabbos related. Okay.
Yes. If the light does not go on, then you would be allowed to open it on Shabbos. That's a muktzah shaila. But yes, you would be allowed to, assuming that you need those clothes for Shabbos.
I have one other question that probably doesn't belong in this class, but are you allowed to like organize your mail and papers on Shabbos? Can you do anything that doesn't require work?
So mail really is muktzah. Person should be handling mail. All bills, certainly, for sure. I mean, anything, credit card statements, you know, anything business related or anything of that nature has no use on Shabbos. Right? Anything in your house that has no use on Shabbos is inherently muktzah. That may even be in a more stringent category of muktzah. For example, the highest levels of muktzah are things like money, or even some say a wallet's in the same category, right? Or even like a random rock in your backyard, for example. There's no purpose for it on Shabbos. It's not considered a vessel. It's just inherently no purpose, whether it's because it has no purpose ever or because its purpose is strictly only during the week. So then that should not be handled on Shabbos. So one should not organize mail on Shabbos.
What about organizing photos or other things on Shabbos?
So that could also be, it's also a shaila, sorting. Sorting is potentially a problem. It's hard to address right now, but I could speak to you afterwards or a different day.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you all for coming on. Next week, we will have a Shir Meretz Hashem. Then there'll be a break for a week, and we may not need more than a couple more weeks of Amir La'akum, maybe two or three more, and then maybe we should be getting to the end of it. So. Okay. Thank you all for sticking it out. For those of you who have been on pretty much throughout, I really appreciate it. Hope you're gaining from it. And have a great week. See you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Have a good night. Take care.